Amen. So let's start out. This last week we had a message that I reminded you earlier that it was called Only Believe. Okay, because Jesus said, you know, just only believe. Okay, in other words, put out the doubt. Okay, get rid of all the other stuff. And so this week, if we only believe, there's another part of it, which is to receive what you're believing for. Okay, and so that's where we're going to go today. We're going to look at a couple of scriptures and passages and just give you some real life examples of ways that we actually need to think about life and think about our walk with God in a way that will help us to actually receive what we're praying for more often. But let's start with some prayer. Father, we lift you up in the name of Jesus, your Son and our Savior. Lord, we've come a long way with you, many of us, Lord, and we're grateful, thankful for all that you've done. And Father, I pray that we're not done yet. I know that we're not. And so I pray that each person is instilled with a hope that says, you're not done yet, that you're continuing us on in this walk of faith, in this walk of praise, in this life as a believing Christian that we live right now, Lord. And we're not done yet. We're going forward. And Father, that is my prayer, that you take us a little bit further forward every day, Father, in our walk. And I pray that this message that you'll use it, Lord, I know that it was inspired by you, and I pray that you'll inspire it in hearts, Lord, and work on hearts this morning to let go of some doubts and to press forward and to take one more step deeper into faith towards you. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen. So last week we had the title of a sermon. It was called Only Believe. Okay, and it had to do with our faith towards God and going to God with your request, okay, and then continuously believing until you see it manifest in the natural, okay, and not, you know, turning away from what you were believing on. And this will add to that. Part of what you know, the trouble was, if you remember the man that came to Jesus and he says, I believe, help thou mine unbelief, right? It's the unbelief that gets us into trouble, and that unbelief is a squelcher of the faith. You can actually see how unbelief steps in and will stop faith in its tracks. Okay, because you were believing, and all of a sudden, the wrong message or the wrong voice that you listen to, and all of a sudden, it just screeches to a halt, and now you're no longer believing for what you were believing for in God. And I think that's why so many Christians approach God, and they make their requests known to him. Okay, God says to do that, approach him, come to him, make your request known. Christians are doing that in faith, but then they don't actually receive what they prayed for because they get derailed somewhere along the way. It's like they believed initially, but then they fell into unbelief when it didn't happen, maybe right away, maybe not the way that exactly what they were thinking for, or what is even more common is that they began to doubt whether or not God really wanted to give it to them. Okay, and I've said before, if you can't pray a prayer of faith, then don't, you know, pray for God to give you faith. Let me put it that way. Okay, because if you want to pray prayers of faith, you want to pray for something that you know it's God's plan for you. You know it's God's will for you. Okay, and so when you have a financial need, does God want you to suffer through that and to be shamed and to, you know, lose your house or to, you know, whatever? Does God know? God is not putting you into that, pushing you in that direction. So when you pray for God to provide for that need, can you pray wholeheartedly, God provide for this need? You should be able to pray for that. Okay? And say for health in your body or for positive relationships or whatever it is in your life. Okay, as people get into that thing where they pray for something but then begin to doubt whether or not God really wants it for them, okay, the devil will use that against you. Okay, and that is that kind of what I have titled or consider an unworthy feeling. Okay, where people start thinking, I know God would bless so-and-so because I've seen him bless other people, but does God really want to bless me like that? Does God really want me to grow and to get beyond this bottom of the barrel junk I'm living in? Does God really, you know, if God has done it for other people, and obviously testimony is huge in people's lives, testifying to what God has done in your life will encourage somebody else who is not there yet, okay? But is that, people start to wonder, am I really worthy of that? Is that, you know, did God do this for me, you know, or did he just do it for them? Because all I see is he's doing it for these other people, okay? The reality is that Jesus Christ has made you worthy, by your faith in Him, not because you did everything right, or you read your Bible today, or you prayed today, or you went to church this week, or none of that is going to get you any credit or any points with God. The only thing that matters to Him is that you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that you trust in Him, and you're saying, I'm coming to you in faith because that's where my life is at. That's where we're at. It's a faith walk. Okay? Now, I've seen now that unworthy feeling can hinder a lot of believers. Over the years, I've seen it where they want to believe, they want to receive the answers to their prayers, but they are gauging the possibility of receiving on their own faithfulness instead of on God's faithfulness or Jesus' faithfulness. Was Jesus faithful to God?
Yes.
Absolutely, 100%. Never missed the mark, never stepped off to the side, never fell into doubt, never. Okay, so His faithfulness is what we trust in. Okay, if it was based on me and mine, man, I'm going to trip and fall. I'm not going to make it. I'm going to fall short in those areas of just wanting to base it on my own walk. But when we trust in God, believe on His faithfulness, we are more apt to see and experience that. A lot of people will believe at least for a while, but they don't. Then when they pray, and a lot of this has to do with prayer, but when we pray and we don't receive what we're praying for, okay, this unworthy stuff has what is kicked in a lot of times in people's lives. So this week I want to take us to that next step, to go beyond faith, which is what brings us, why we go to God, to beyond believing, which is faith to go to God and then continuing on, to actually receiving what it is that we're praying for. Okay? I want to start with a quote out of a book. It was written by Andrew Womack. Some of you guys know him down at Carey's Bible College, Woodland Park, Colorado. Okay, his massive college is growing and getting bigger. Well, he's written lots of books. I think the ladies read at least two of them now for Ladies Tea, and he has lots of good material out there. A friend of my pastor's. Anyway, let's read a title by Andrew Womack. It says this. This is a quote from, before I get to that quote, but it is from a book titled, You've Already Got It. And then the subtitle is, So Quit Trying to Get It. Okay, you've already got it, so quit trying to get it. Okay, and I'm going to explain this. On the cover of that book is a picture of a, kind of a black and white spotted dog. I'm thinking probably Dalmatian. Okay, and it's obviously, it's kind of coiled in a circle like it's chasing its tail. The picture's even a little blurry. So you kind of get the impression that this dog is circling around and around circles, obviously spinning around, chasing its own tail. And the quote is from the beginning of the opening dialogue of that book, or the introduction to the book, and it says this. It says, like the dog on the cover, most Christians spend their entire lives chasing something they already have. They're always asking the Lord to do something, to bless, to heal, deliver, or prosper them, when in truth, they are seeking what they've already been given. They believe God can do anything, but not that He has, past tense, done very much. Okay, now the premise behind this quote is that Jesus Christ has already done what He came to do for us. He is not going back to the cross. That was once and done. He did what He needed to do on the cross. He did what He needed to do by raising from the dead. He did what He needed to do when He lived the perfect sinless life. He is not coming back to do it over again. Okay, so if we're still waiting for Him to do that, to somehow, you know, to save us again or to do that kind of stuff, it's simply not going to happen. He already did what He came to do for us. It is now up to us to receive and believe on what has been done. What did He do? What did He accomplish when He did all those things? That's where we need to get that mentality. But Jesus came and He gave a very specific command to us as He was teaching early disciples how to live out their walk that has not changed from the early days of Christianity until now. Okay, and I want to read this to you. Here it is in His own words, Mark 11, 22 through 24. Jesus answers them and says unto them, have faith in God. I'm going to stop right there. Have faith in God. Not faith in yourself, not faith in your own ability, not faith in what you're believing for, not faith in any other thing, but have faith in God. Okay, because everything that you've received has come from God. It is about His faithfulness. It's about His perfection. It's about His miraculous power. It is about what He has done. Okay, so have faith in God. Jesus says, "For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Jesus says, verse 24, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." When you pray, believe that you received, and you will have whatever you asked for. Okay, when you approach, when you pray and you approach God, you are demonstrating that your faith is active. Okay, that's an action of faith when you go to God. It means I believe in God. I haven't seen Him maybe face to face, but I believe in Him enough to approach God. That's an act of faith. So when you approach God, when you demonstrate your faith is active through your actions, and you believe at that very moment and continue to believe that you have received what you were prayed for, you will see it manifest in the natural. Okay, Jesus did this. Jesus modeled this while he was on the earth. The disciples began to live in it and began to see it happening as well. Now, I added in that when you believe and continue to believe, okay, because it's so common for the Christian to fall into unbelief shortly after praying. Okay, we didn't see it happen. Okay, let me just say, here's what happens. When you pray, you went to God in faith. When you pray, you believe that you received. You prayed in faith, and God heard. And the answer was immediately put into motion on your behalf. You had a financial need or a health need or whatever area, and because the provision for that is based on what Jesus did for you, God put the finances in motion. God put the healing in motion. God put that relationship in motion immediately. Because it's based on Him. That all you did was come to Him in faith. I believe it when I pray it. God put it in motion. But then, when you don't see the finances magically appear in your wallet, okay, you just assumed that it wasn't going to happen. So you went to somebody else and you asked them for money. Or you went and sold your wedding ring, okay, or whatever, and you sort of forced it to happen in your own way. Okay, if you don't believe in the miraculous provision of God, I'm here to tell you it is very true. Okay, at times in life when there's absolutely no other way, and believe me, I'm like anybody else, I will look for other ways. Okay, because maybe God wants me to, you know, whatever, do this or go there or get a job or talk to this person or whatever. And so I'm listening, just like anybody else. But when that is not quickened in my spirit and I'm not feeling led that I'm supposed to do that, I have seen it over and over and over again. God just provides it. It's just like somebody hands it to you. Out of the blue, somebody calls you. Somebody says, "Hey, can we meet for lunch?" And they give you $1,000. I mean, that stuff is real and it happens. And it's a God thing. And it only happens when you don't solve it some other way first. Okay? Because God didn't tell you to solve it some other way first. You just wanted to get it solved, so you took that as, "Oh, that's a sign from God. I'm, you know, whatever." Okay, but God will set it up, and He will provide those ways. Okay, but when you don't see it happen immediately, and you just kind of force it to happen, I think it's when many Christians are starting out with strong faith. They went to God. They believe that God hears them. But when it doesn't manifest immediately in the natural, then they start yielding to unbelief. And it causes the whole prayer to crumple like a big train wreck. I hate to use that. I just heard about a train wreck this morning. Thank God nobody got hurt. But but when that happens and we start speaking, doing, okay, your actions speak, everybody heard actions speak louder than words. Yeah, we were just talking about this, our beloved president. Sometimes I wish he would learn that your actions speak louder than words. You don't have to tweet stupid stuff out or whatever. Okay, just live it out, right? Live out your faith. Live out your stuff. Okay, actions speak louder than words. So if I pray and then my actions take me in a way that is pretending like what I just prayed isn't going to happen, okay, I am negating that prayer. My actions are speaking loudly to God, saying, sorry, God, I know I prayed to you, I believe for you at the moment, but I'm going to try this. I'm going to go a different direction. Okay, when you start out strong in faith, you believe God hears you, doesn't manifest, then you start yielding to unbelief. Okay, you let doubt come into your heart. Okay, that verse that we read said, when you believe and doubt not in your heart. Okay, when your words and your actions do not line up with the answer to your prayer, it's going to hinder things. Okay, let me give you an example. I want to see if I can make this very, very simple for you to understand how you should be praying. Let me ask you a question. Has anybody, and this is an easy no-brainer, has anybody ever prayed for your meal or prayed over your meal when you sit down to eat? Okay, show of hands. Who has prayed over your meal? Most people, many Christians, sit down and we'll actually pray together. We do it as a family several times a day. We hold hands and we pray over a meal. When you prayed, did you worry and fret and plead with God to give you the food? Or did you just thank God for what He had already provided? Okay, it was already on the table in front of you. I already had my cheeseburger on my plate. I like cheeseburgers, homemade one especially, if you ever want to bless me. I do not have to pray, God, I need a cheeseburger. I kind of have a cheeseburger. I really need a cheeseburger. I don't have to plead and beg and it's already on my plate, right? God has already provided somehow, some way that this food is on my plate, on my table. Okay, I don't have to cry out to Him to try to get something to happen. Okay, it would be silly to beg God for something that's already sitting right in front of you. Okay, your initial faith in God, get this, your initial faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior opened up all the blessings of the kingdom of God to you. Jesus Christ went to the cross to pay the price for your sin, making you worthy to receive it all. So that by your faith, when you see the word the righteous, that's you. Okay, and all the blessing, all the good stuff, all the many good protection, the deliverance, the providing for, all those things that you see after the righteous, that is God describing what is now yours in the kingdom of God. Okay, your initial faith opened that up. Luke 12:32 says it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He didn't want to hold back and say, well, maybe if they do this right and they do that right, then I'll give it to them. He didn't do that. It is His good pleasure to bless you. He loves to give things to you. 2 Peter 1:3 says that all things that pertain unto life and godliness have been given to you. All things that pertain unto life and godliness. Okay, that's everyday life stuff. Okay, godliness, we get that. Yep, God provided for me to walk right, to live right, to do good, all those things. But He provided for all things that have to do with life. Living life, your daily needs, in other words. Now, remember, I won't get into that, but on 16:24, Jesus said this. He said, hitherto you have asked nothing in my name, but now ask, and you shall receive so that your joy may be full. Okay, you've heard the scripture, James said it, ask, you have not because you ask not. Okay. You ask and you believe and you follow through. Jesus wants to give you that in your life. As Jesus instructed His early followers, He tells them this in Matthew 10:7. He says, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Speaking to the same kind of people as you and me. There are fishermen, there's tax collectors, there's doctor guys, right? There's all these people, all different kinds of backgrounds. He's speaking to them saying, you have received, now go freely give it away. Okay? You have already taken it into your life. Does anyone remember, this is kind of a funny example, but remember the old show Sesame Street? Hey, you guys got to remember that. Some of you are old enough. I think they still have it on to some extent. Okay, there was one of my favorite episodes, and it was about near and far. Okay, do you guys remember that? Yeah. Let me back up just a little bit, make sure I get this. The first part of that verse, it says, as you go, preach what? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay, so what does that mean? At hand. It means it's near, right? And that's where I'm going with that example. But the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That term, at hand, it literally means it is near, close, as in already approached and ready for use. Already approached, already come to you, and is ready for use, ready to be put in action. So when I think of that Sesame Street lesson, I think it was Grover, if I remember right, he's one of my favorite guys. Grover that taught the lesson on near and far. Okay, and it shows Grover, he's right in front of the camera, and he says, this is near. And then he do-do-do-do-do-do, and he runs way, way, he's this little tiny guy, and he says, far, right? And then he runs back up to the camera, do-do-do-do-do, and he gets right here, and goes, near. And then do-do-do-do-do, and he runs away, and he gets out there, and he says, far. Okay, and the whole idea is to show you that what is near, you don't have to be looking out there for it, because it's right here. It's right in front of you. And that's the whole point of near and far by Grover. Okay, but that's the point of Jesus in this verse, is saying, go and preach. Tell them that the kingdom of God is not far anymore. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's near. It's right here, ready for use, ready to be put into play. It is at hand. So we can stop looking for it out there and start thanking God that it's right here. Okay, and so you start going on with life like you already have it. Like Andrew Womack was saying. Quit asking God to do something and start going on with life like you already have it. Start living that way today. Okay, when we're praying and hoping for something that has already come, I don't like the term slap in God's face, but that's what I've heard it described that way, that you're trying to get God to do something He's already given. That's like praying for that cheeseburger when it's already on your plate. It's like, God already did provide this. Well, I don't have to provide or pray for Him to provide it. He's already done it. Now He just wants us to receive it, to partake of it. I think when you understand that concept, that performance-based Christianity goes out of the picture. Okay, that it sort of takes the pressure off of you to do things to try and get God to bless you. Okay, it takes that pressure off when you realize that He already has blessed you and He already has poured out His grace upon you. Not based on your efforts, okay, but based on the completed works of Jesus Christ. What did He come to give me? Okay, like the Apostle Paul, some of you remember, in fact, we sang the song this morning, Your Grace is Enough. Okay, remember when the Apostle Paul had an issue, had been bugging him, and he cries out to the Lord at least three times for it. And you remember the Lord's answer to him? He finally says, Paul, my grace is enough. My grace is sufficient for you. Okay, if you look up that word grace in the Greek right there, it means charis. Okay, charis Bible College, that's grace. And it means the generous and liberal gift of favor and benefit. Okay, grace is the generous and liberal gift of favor and benefit. That's my grace is sufficient. Okay, that word grace is powerful. I've often used the description, I describe it as God's unmerited favor, okay, upon your life. That really doesn't do it justice when you really look into that word. Okay, but that it is what God Himself, okay, it's not up to you, it was up to God. It's what God Himself has chosen to give you that you could not and did not earn. It's what He decided from the throne of heaven and says, this is what I want to give to you. That's His grace. Okay, it is the manifestation of His goodness. It's the manifestation of His kindness toward us who have made a conscious decision to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Yeah, the psalmist in Psalms chapter 5, verse 11 and 12, he said, "But let all those that put their trust in Thee, God, to rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because Thou defendest them. Let them also that love Thy name be joyful in Thee, for Thou, Lord, will bless the righteous with favor, wilt Thou compass him as with a shield." This was a prophetic description that it described a time to come that now is, when the love and the blessing and the favor of God would be manifested in the life of the believer based on the completed works of Jesus. This is that favor that is bestowed upon you. It's liberal, it's generous, it is abundant, and it is bestowed upon you as those that believe and trust in God. The Apostle Paul described it in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. He described this. He said, "But God, who is rich in mercy," as rich as you can get, "for His great love," for no other reason, "His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were still dead in sins, hath quickened us, made us alive together with Christ, for by grace are you saved. And He has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come," that's describing right now, "so that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Jesus." In other words, He's saying, remember what Jesus gave you, okay, because that is goodness and kindness and grace. Okay, this passage in the Bible that is specifically describing the current benefits and blessing for the believer based entirely on God's grace and not on your works, not on your efforts, not on your deeds. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, you received everything that He did for you. There's no earning taking place. He did what He did, says it is finished from the cross, because He did what needed to be done. Okay, you have to know that in order to receive the health and the prosperity, the goodness and favor that He died on the cross to give you. You have to stop basing what you receive or what you don't receive on you and start putting the basis for what you have or don't have on Jesus. He did it. He was worthy. God did not hold back anything to Jesus. And when Jesus gives that to us, He holds it back not either. You've been made worthy by your faith to be able to receive what He gave you through grace. That you were saved by grace through faith, right? So it's your faith, when you received Him, believed on Him, that you got opened up to this channel of grace. He provided you with ongoing blessing, ongoing healing, prosperity and deliverance. So you can stop waiting for God to make things possible and start accepting what He already made possible. If you remember, Jesus said, all things are possible to him that believes. Listen just a little bit as I close this out. I want to show you the language of the people of God. Okay, these are people that got it. Okay, from an early on in David and Psalms and some of these, they're people that understood God, if it was entirely based on me, I wouldn't get nothing. Okay, but this isn't based on me. And even David seemed to understand that. Abraham understood that. Some others really got it. Isaiah seemed to know because he prophesied about it. Psalms chapter 40, verse 5. They said, "Many, O Lord, my God, are Thy wonderful works which Thou hast done, and Thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto Thee, and if I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." Okay, this is somebody that sees God not as mean and out to get me and trying to restrict and hold back. This is somebody that looks at God and says, "God, you're so awesome. You're miraculous. Look at all these wonderful things that you've done." Again, Psalm 98:1 says, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for He hath done marvelous things. His right hand," think Jesus, "and His holy arm hath gotten Him the victory. Psalm 126, verse 3, the Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Okay, that's not a mean and awful God. This is a God that loves you, cares for you, loves to bless His people. The Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Isaiah in chapter 12, verse 3 through 5, he prophesies. He says, therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon His name, declare His doings among the people, make mention so that His name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for He has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Okay, now these are some of the Old Testament scriptures. These are things that before God even fulfilled the rest of His plan through Jesus. Okay, before He even fulfilled this plan to bless you through the grace of Jesus Christ. Listen to how John, somebody who began to understand while he's walking with Jesus, and then he writes about it after the fact. Listen to how John the Apostle tells of what we have now received through Jesus. In John 1:16. He says, and of His fullness have we all we received, and grace for grace. Now, the Amplified Bible elaborates on this, and it says it like this. For out of His fullness, the superabundance of His grace and truth, we have all received grace upon grace, spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift. These are the words of John, the disciple, who in another place described himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. He knew Jesus loved him. And that worthy stuff I was talking about earlier, that if you don't see yourself as worthy to receive the blessing of God, get this love part. John knew. He's the same guy that a few verses later said, God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whoever believes on Him would not perish but have everlasting life. Right? That's the same guy. He understood the love of Jesus Christ that was bestowed upon him through what God did through Jesus, what Jesus lived this life, willingly went through what He went through, and he got it. And he said, Jesus didn't do all that for nothing. Jesus did all that so that I can receive grace upon grace, that I can receive favor upon favor, that I can be blessed abundantly above all I could ask or think, and that gift heaped upon gift. John knew that Jesus loved him. John knew that Jesus gave His life for him. Okay, and that is how he knew that the fullness of all that God had to give was bestowed upon him simply because he believed on Jesus. When you believe in what God has already given you through the grace of Jesus Christ, you're going to start seeing yourself actively receiving what He wants to give you. Okay? That's how we partake of the kingdom of God. That's how we live it out. It's a walk of faith. We're approaching God. We're staying and trusting in Him. We're going to let our actions follow after that. And follow in those same ways. We prayed for this, so I'm going to continue that direction. Because that's what I prayed. And God heard that prayer. God answered that prayer, not based on me, but based on Him. And I'm just going to keep going in that direction. Okay, let's trust in Jesus. Trust in what He did. He didn't go to the cross for nothing. He didn't endure all that for no reason. He had a purpose. And it was so that God could now pour out His blessing upon His children in this day and age. Hallelujah. Father, we're praising You this morning. Your kingdom come and Your will be done, Lord. Your glory shine in our life. Lord, let Your power and Your majesty manifest in and through our life, Lord, in ways that we just recognize over and over again that this is simply because You loved us enough to send Jesus and we believe on Jesus. Father, we trust in You this morning. We trust in Your plan. We trust that You had things figured out, and if we can grab hold of it, we'll live in this life that You want us to live in blessing and favor and anointing. Father, we thank You for Your plan through Jesus. Thank You for making it possible, and thank You for making it happen through Jesus. Lord, we receive openly as we stretch out our hearts and our minds to You, Lord, believing that all that You wanted to give us through Jesus, that is what we want to receive. We don't hold back. We don't doubt. But we believe that you had a plan and that we now receive from that the goodness, the greatness, the fulfillment of grace upon grace, all that you wanted to give us. Father, we trust you for it. We thank you. Send us forth from here as a hopeful believer, Lord, trusting and relying on you to lead, guide, to point us in a direction every moment of every day as we openly receive the gift that you have bestowed upon us. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.